The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away, and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Last weekend we had high school graduations. This past week was the last days for our grade school kids on Wednesday. So they're on summer break. We had ordinations, 7 new deacons ordained on Thursday and 3 new priests yesterday. So that always for me feels like a transition into the summer. It doesn't feel like that much today with all the rain. But as we transition to summer, it reminds me of many days I spent out on the baseball field. Played many summers out at West Durbin playing travel baseball, going to various tournaments over the weekends and spending a lot of time in random places to play a lot of baseball games. And I was quite short when I was growing up and left-handed, so there's not really a lot of places in the infield for a left-hander that's not first base. So I quickly got sent out into the outfield. And I remember learning to play the outfield that you have to get really used to being ready. The coach always told me, you know, you're not going to get a lot of balls necessarily hit to you in the outfield, but when it does make it out there, we need you to be ready. Can't have you out there picking daisies in right field. I need you to be ready to go and catch it, or at least to go and keep it from getting to the outfield fence. And so little by little, I learned that discipline of every time a pitch was coming to be ready, not just in even like a ready athletic position, but I remember eventually learning basically as the pitch was approaching home plate to almost like make a little jump so that as the bat was swung, if it was hit, my feet would basically hit the ground right as it was being hit, and I could just react to the left or the right or wherever the ball might end up. And in a baseball game, there might be, you know, 80 or 100 pitches, and most of those are not making it to the outfield. Most of those are not getting anywhere near you in center field. You might have a couple, maybe one or two that you'd be expected to catch for an out, and a few others that you should at least get to prevent them from going all the way to the fence. But I learned that it was good for me to be ready for that crack of the bat, even if it wasn't going to come to me, to be in that ready position. Because at some point, the ball was going to come my direction. And for all the hundreds of times that I might have been ready that it didn't come to me, it only took one or two when you weren't ready that the ball came to you that would get you yanked out of the game pretty quickly. I think in some ways, Jesus is wanting to prepare the apostles in today's gospel to be ready, to be kind of like I was out in the outfield, to be ready for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because he gives this on the night of the Last Supper, and he's telling them that he's not going to be with them, partly talking about the crucifixion and his death and resurrection, but especially of the moment of his ascension, when eventually his earthly body will be raised to heaven and they won't have anything tangible here on earth to know Jesus by. They won't be able to go and ask him questions. They won't be able to say, how am I supposed to do this or that? Or say, hey, Jesus, I have somebody that's sick. You come and heal them. But Jesus wants them to know that, one, the ascension is a good thing. And it's good that he's going to the Father, but also that he's going to still be with them. He's going to be with them in a different way, with the Holy Spirit. But he's not just abandoning them to figure it all out on their own. So in this gospel passage, he's wanting to prime the pump. He's saying, be ready for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be ready for this advocate that'll be different than how Jesus was present in front of them. But he promises that the Holy Spirit will be there. He'll be an advocate. He'll be the one that is on their side. The original word kind of evokes almost a defense attorney in a courtroom. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send someone not to accuse you, but to be your defense. To give you the right words to say, to give you the right way to stand up even to evil in the world. But you have to be ready. It's not just going to happen magically. I'm not just going to do it to you. But if you're ready, you will be able to follow the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to go left or right or go wherever he might lead you. But if you're not ready, if you're not paying attention, it might go right by you. Just like that ball hits the outfield would go straight back to the fence if I wasn't ready. Brothers and sisters, I think that the church wants us to be ready for the celebration of Pentecost. Next week, we'll celebrate the Ascension on Sunday. Jesus' body was raised gloriously to the heavenly kingdom. And then the following Sunday, so in 2 weeks, we'll celebrate Pentecost, that descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. The day that is the birthday of the church when they were sent out to effectively do what Jesus told them to do. To go out and preach the good news of Jesus and to baptize new members into the church. Every year when Pentecost comes up, I think the church wants us to be ready for the Holy Spirit in our own lives. Not just to think of it as a moment that happened 2,000 years ago, but to say, God, how am I needing to follow the Holy Spirit today? How do I need to be ready to notice his promptings in my life? How do I need to be like Paul and Barnabas in the first reading, who came upon a difficult situation? They weren't sure how to deal with the Gentiles. Did they need to follow all the old law of the Jews, or did they just need to follow some of it or none of it? And so they consulted with the other apostles. They sent this letter, and they get a response back that basically says, do some of the things, but the most important thing is to know Jesus, is to be baptized into him in the sacraments and to follow the law of Christ. So they keep some of these laws of the Old Testament, especially with unlawful marriage and a few of the dietary restrictions. But at the heart, it's Paul and Barnabas trusting that the Holy Spirit is there. But the way that they solve this problem isn't to bring all their arguments and say, well, I think it should be this and I think it should be this, and let's try to figure it out in a human way. Right, maybe take a very democratic vote or have somebody decide, and that's just the thing that we're going to do. But I think Paul and Barnabas were not only ready for the Holy Spirit to do something, but they actually expected the Holy Spirit to fix that problem. Expected the Holy Spirit to intervene and to show them the right way to go. They could kind of put the problem in front of the Holy Spirit. And no matter where he led, that would be good. That'd be the place that they were going to go and bring the good news to the world. Brothers and sisters, let us pray that we have that same confidence and expectation in the Holy Spirit. That we can bring maybe our concerns or the problems in the world around us to the Holy Spirit over these next few weeks. That we can expect in the Feast of Pentecost especially that he will show up. Our job is just to be ready. Just be ready and attentive to where he might lead us. So what is it that we need to be attentive to follow the Holy Spirit? Like I said, when I was playing baseball, I got very good at hearing the crack of the bat and almost not even thinking, just reacting if it was this way or that way, or if I had to run up or run back. Didn't even have to really consider, I think it's there. My body just started moving. I got so used to it that it became a habit. It just became natural to respond to a fly ball or the crack of the bat in that way. So what is the crack of the bat for the Holy Spirit? What is it that marks his presence in our lives? I remember growing up in Catholic school, and especially when I was preparing for confirmation, there was so much talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There certainly are ways that the Holy Spirit acts through wisdom, understanding, piety, fear of the Lord, fortitude, counsel, and knowledge. What I always was confused by was those are things that are very abstract. That I can ask for wisdom, but it's very rare that I know clearly what the wise choice is in a situation. It's very rare that I know, oh, this just needs a little bit more fortitude. I need a little bit more courage in order to do the right thing. Usually those are things that I need to ask the Holy Spirit for, but it's not exactly clear where he might be leading me. But I don't think those gifts of the Holy Spirit are necessarily his hallmarks. They aren't the things that we need to react to. Instead, when St. Paul lists the fruits of the Holy Spirit, I think those are the things that spiritually we always want to be ready for. They're marks of the Holy Spirit's action in our lives and the things that we can respond to at a moment's notice. Those fruits being love. Not just a feeling of love, but a generous love and charity for our neighbor and those in need. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, generosity, gentleness, and self-control. Those are things in our life that should be things that we automatically notice and say, that's a mark of the Holy Spirit. The things that lead me to greater peace, or if there's two options in front of me and one would be much more peaceful than the other, I would lean on the side of choosing the one that leads to peace. There's one that might require some more patience, but really allow me to be patient as God is. That's probably a better choice than the impatient option. Or with faithfulness or generosity or self-control. All those things help us to navigate and see that there are ways that the Holy Spirit is present. That he is acting in our lives just as he did 2,000 years ago. That as Jesus told his apostles, he would not leave them abandoned. He would send the advocate to lead them and guide them in their lives. Brothers and sisters, let us have that same confidence that Paul and Barnabas had in the first reading. That no matter what problem or situation we find ourselves in personally or we find the world in around us, that we can bring that to the Holy Spirit and expect him to lead us and guide us. Let us just pray that we will be ready, that we'll be attentive to the sound and the moment the Holy Spirit shows up. Knowing that there will be a lot of times that we're ready, but the spiritual ball doesn't come our way. But instead, to be able to say, Lord, help me to be ready when those fruits of the Holy Spirit show up. Help me to be ready to follow you and to respond to you. So just like the Holy Spirit renewed the face of the earth on the day of Pentecost, leading Peter to preach the gospel and to baptize 3,000 people, let us pray that today and in our lives, we can be led by that same Holy Spirit. Led to renew the world around us. Led to bring the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but also to be led by those fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, and self-control. Leading lives with our advocate, we can renew the face of the earth, just like the early church did 2,000 years ago.